In the shop, my father was sitting at the desk with his head in his hands. He heard me come down the stairs and looked up, white-faced. "Whatever is it?" When he spoke, his voice was weary and shaken. "A break-in." I looked around the shop, bewildered. Everything was neat and in order. The desk drawers had not been forced, the shelves not ransacked, the window not broken. "The cabinet," he said, and I began to understand. "The 13 tales?" I spoke firmly. "Upstairs in my flat. I borrowed it." Father looked up at me. His expression combined relief with utter astonishment. "You borrowed it? Vida Winter?" I realized that some kind of explanation was called for. "I read old novels. The reason is simple. I prefer proper endings. Marriages and deaths, noble sacrifices and miraculous restorations, tragic separations and unhoped-for reunions, great falls and dreams fulfilled. These, in my view, constitute an ending worth the wait. They should come after adventures, perils, dangers and dilemmas, and wind everything up nice and neatly. Endings like this are to be found more commonly in old novels than new ones. So I read old novels. Except that now I had come down in the middle of the night to take the 13 tales from the cabinet. My father, with good reason, was wondering why. "I got a letter yesterday," I began. He nodded. "It was from Vida Winter." Father raised his eyebrows, but waited for me to go on. "It seems to be an invitation for me to visit her, with a view to writing her biography." His eyebrows lifted by another few millimeters. "I couldn't sleep, so I came down to get the book." I waited for Father to speak, but he didn't. He was thinking, a small frown creasing his brow. After a time, I spoke again. "Why is it kept in the cabinet? What makes it so valuable?" Father pulled himself away from his train of thought to answer. "Partly because it's the first edition of the first book of the most famous living writer in the English language. But mostly because it's flawed. Every following edition is called Tales of Change and Desperation. No mention of 13. You'll have noticed there are only 12 stories." I nodded. "Presumably there were originally supposed to be 13, then only 12 were submitted. But there was a mix-up with the jacket design, and the book was printed with the original title and only 12 stories. They had to be recalled."
"But your copy?"
"Slipped through the net. I bought it in September from a collector's estate, with the proceeds from the Avignon deal. It had taken 2 years to negotiate the Avignon deal. It was one of Father's most lucrative successes." "All that effort for nothing."
"What do you mean?"
"Recalling all those books because the title was wrong. Yet people still call it the 13 Tales, even though it's been published as Tales of Change and Desperation for half a century."
"Why is that?"
"It's what a combination of fame and secrecy does. With real knowledge about her so scant, fragments of information like the story of the recalled first edition take on an importance beyond their weight. It has become part of her mythology. The mystery of the 13th tale. It gives people something to speculate about."
There is a short silence.
Then, directing his gaze vaguely into the middle distance, and speaking lightly so that I could pick up his words or let them go as I chose, he murmured, "A Vida Winter biography. How unexpected." I remembered the letter, my fear that its writer was not to be trusted. I remembered the insistence of the young man's words. "Tell me the truth." I remember the 13 tales that took possession of me with its first words and held me captive all night. I wanted to be held hostage again. "I don't know what to do," I told my father.
"It is different from what you've done before. Vida Winter is a living subject. Interviews instead of archives."
I nodded.
"But you want to know the person who wrote the 13 tales."
I nodded again. My father put his hands on his knees and sighed. He knows what reading is, how it takes you.
"When does she want you to go?"
"Monday," I told him. "Could you run me to the station?"
"Yes," he said, with a smile that didn't hide his worry. "Yes, of course."